Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
Amen. All right, so we're gonna do some fun stuff today. It might be a little different than other sermons, but that's just kind of how I end up doing things. I don't try. I'm not trying to be different. I'm just... Yeah. So we're going to listen to music for a little bit. We're going to read some stories. We're going to do some science. Yeah? You didn't expect that, did you? And we're going to take naps. Not really. That'd be weird. Mm-hmm. Snack time's coming up. All right, so let's just start with some music, okay? I want you to do something while we listen, though. The song's about 3 minutes long, this first one. I want you to pay attention to your response. I want you to recognize it. I want you to be aware of how the song makes you feel, your posture, your thoughts as you listen to it, okay? I need you to keep an open mind. I purposely chose very polarizing music. as soon as the songs start, we're going to listen to two total. As soon as they start, you'll be able to be like, this is not for me. This is not my music. This is horrible. But don't be scared. The first one's about 3 minutes long, and the second one's only like a minute and a half. So you can make it. Okay? Are we all on the same page? All right. So we're going to lower the lights a little bit. Go ahead, just close your eyes and listen. And go ahead and play the first one. So there's about a minute of applause that we cut out of that. That was recorded at the 1990 World Cup. That was the opening thing when they did it in Italy. And the people there were like, you know what the best thing to start the largest worldwide sporting event with is? Opera. Let's do some opera. But that moment with like the shivering strings, and he comes in and he hits that big note, the crescendo there, and the horns come in behind him. You feel it. Like he put so much into that song. And it's funny because, so this is from Puccini's opera that I don't know how to pronounce, so I'm just not going to. But that part is about a young prince waiting for a young princess to decide if she's going to marry him or not. And if she doesn't marry him, if she says no, he dies. Because opera, I don't know. It's just kind of their thing. Gonna get married? No? No? Oh, no. Oh, dear. This could be bad. All right. So we're going to move into the second song. I do want to let you know just right off the bat that this is Christian music. Just stay with me. We're all going to listen to a minute and a half. This is a Christian band. I've followed them since I was a young child, young fella. Let's just go ahead and start it. Let's wait for it. It's so good. Isn't that cool? So that song, that's Project 86, it's called Stein's Theme. It's talking about standing by your convictions, not letting the world sway you, understanding who you are in Christ, and walking forward in that. I know it didn't necessarily sound too much like that, but man, it's fun. You just want to start punching things for some reason. Yeah, get up and start throwing chairs. Circle pit starts right in the middle. It's best. It was really sad because that was kind of that's one of my favorite albums from back when I was young and immature and didn't listen to opera. But it kind of broke my heart because it came out in like 17 years ago. And I was like, oh, that's like all of school. I could have gone through that again since that came out, and I'm so old. I still got my looks. I'm broken. All right, so you may have been drawn to the beauty of the opera. That's one of the most well-known, just most stunning pieces that have been written in hundreds of years. Or you may have been drawn to the like unfiltered passion of that Project 86 song. It may have spoken to you with just, it's on another level of emotion or emoting. All right, so that was fun. We love that. Let's do story time now. Story time. So this is the Chronicles of Narnia. This is the Magician's Nephew. This is one of my many hardbound books that I own in my library. It smells strongly of cedar. It doesn't, actually. It smells like crayons. But so this is the origin story for the Chronicles of Narnia. At the conclusion, the protagonist Diggory has a very sick mom. Aslan the lion allows him to take an apple from the Tree of Life in Narnia back to his dying mother in Earth. She's miraculously healed after eating the fruit. Diggory, he plants the seeds from the apple in the backyard, and from these seeds a tree grows. And that is where we'll start reading. It was like this. The tree which sprang from the apple that Diggory planted in the back garden lived and grew into a fine tree. Growing in the soil of our world, far out of the sound of Aslan's voice, and far from the young heir of Narnia, it did not bear apples that would revive a dying woman as Diggory's mother had been revived. Though it did bear apples more beautiful than any others in England, and they were extremely good for you, though not fully magical. But inside itself, in the very sap of it, the tree, so to speak, never forgot that other tree in Narnia to which it belonged. Sometimes it would move mysteriously when there was no wind blowing. I think that when this happened, there were high winds in Narnia, and the English tree quivered because at that moment, the Narnia tree was rocking and swaying in a strong southwestern gale. However that might be, it was proved later that there was still magic in its wood. For when Diggory was quite middle-aged, and he was a famous learned man, a professor, and a great traveler by that time, and the Ketterlys' old house belonged to him, there was a great storm all over the south of England, and it blew the tree down. He couldn't bear to have it simply chopped up for firewood, so he had part of the timber made into a wardrobe, which he put in his big house in the country. And though he himself did not discover the magic properties of that wardrobe, someone else did, and that was the beginning of all the comings and goings between between Narnia and our world, which you can read of in other books. Sorry about the spoilers, you guys. It was written in 1967, though, so I'm going to need you to catch up. Did you hear that, though? Did you hear the very sap of the tree remembered? Genesis 1:27. Genesis 1. This is the beginning of the Bible, just so you know. That's the first book, first chapter. It says that we are made in God's image. He has breathed his essence into humanity. Let's go to the New Testament. Ephesians 4:30. It says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We were given the image of Christ at the beginning of creation. And because of what Jesus did, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Not only are we made in the image of God, not only did his breath become our breath, but a very part of the triune God is sealed within us. Now it's time for science. You guys ready for some science? Yeah, that's Mr. Wizard. Anybody remember Mr. Wizard? So we never had cable growing up. We never had cable. So I would go to my cousin's house, like 6 hours away, and they had cable. And I got to watch Nickelodeon, and I got to watch Count Buckula, Binocula. What was that called? Duckula. Yeah, it was the duck vampire. Not to be confused with the bunny. Count Duckula. Danger Mouse was on Nickelodeon, loved Danger Mouse, and Mr. Wizard. And I just, since we're doing science, that was my science guy. I was too old for Bill Nye. But so science, I believe science is the recipe for how God speaks to us. There is beauty and poetry in science, just like everything else God has created. So let's take a look at this. This is called the Mandelbrot set. That's not somebody on drugs drawing a picture. That's actually a mathematical equation. And it's incredible. It's infinite. You can go on YouTube and watch loops of this. And each one of those points, as you go into it, infinitely creates pictures just like this. And they're all different every time. And the thing is, that equation, it's a ratio. It's called the golden ratio. And it's replicated throughout all of nature. You find it everywhere. It's in the nautilus shell. That replicates at the same exact ratio as that. A fern, before it unfolds its leaves, has the same perfect ratio. Leonardo da Vinci, when he drew the Vitruvian Man, everything is based off of that ratio. Everything. You can see all of the lines that he made, and each piece is that golden ratio. And it's throughout everything, through all of what we do. Fingerprint of God is everywhere. Let's do some more science. Prepare yourself for this. This is going to boggle your mind. Resonance. You know that guy spent like, he's got like multiple degrees. He's a doctor and all this stuff. And they were like, we want you to make a kids video. You have 1 minute. I got this. Yeah. Yay. Resonance. Science. You're welcome, by the way. You loved that. I know you did. The act of worship brings us to a matching frequency with God. The Holy Spirit who is within us allows us to connect and to communicate to the very essence of God more powerfully. When God moves, when there's that resonance, the Holy Spirit sealed within us, the essence of us, the sap, it vibrates and it changes and it sings. In Psalms, King David penned a line that stuck with me most of my life, mostly because I didn't understand it. He says, deep calls the deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. Deep calls to deep. My mom would read the Psalms to us, and she explained it to me once, and I forgot. And it took quite a few years for me to really kind of comprehend what deep calls to deep would be and why it would stick with me. The very depth of me, my inmost being, my soul, the thing that makes me, me, that separates me from you, the thing that you'll recognize when we're in heaven, reaches out to communicate to the very depth, to that same soul of our Creator. That's what he's saying. The depth in me, the soul of me, wants to communicate. It cries out for the Creator. And it's clear that the deepest part of us desires, longs for that communication. If we don't do it, the very rocks will cry out. The nautilus will cry out. Math will cry out. The ferns. The flower petals of a dahlia. Isaiah 55:12. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Luke 19:40. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Psalm 96. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Isaiah is a prophetic text from the Old Testament. In Luke here, we have the words of Jesus as the Pharisees are telling him to have the people be quiet as he's coming into Jerusalem for the Holy Week. And Jesus is saying, if they don't do it, the very cut stones of the road that we're walking on, these buildings will sing out. Psalm 96:12, poetic text, says the same thing. All through the Bible, all through the communication that God has written down for us, it talks about we were designed to worship. We were designed for that communication. So let's go to John. Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman here. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Amen. Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman. The Samaritans were a people that had been cut off from the Jews because they intermingled with the wrong people and changed the way they worship. And Jesus is telling her, I'm changing everything. Because they weren't allowed to go into the temple and worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus is saying, I'm changing worship from a location to an attitude. And that's important. Because that's what he brings. He wants us to come to him in spirit and in truth. We want to worship with a heart for God. And we want to worship with biblical accuracy, right? Can you guys come up? Okay. We're going to sing one more song. And we're going to sing Here's My Heart. This song is a prayer. This song encompasses praise and worship. This song is talking about the gloriousness of God, of the power of God, of his greatness. And it's also talking about how, because of who he is, we are free. And we are whole, and we are strong, and we are made new. That's powerful. And these words carry weight and have meaning and have depth. So what I want you to do, you don't need to sing, you don't need to stand up unless you feel led. But please pay attention to what is drawn out as we sing. Your emotions are viable and important. The opera that we listened to at the beginning, the aria from Puccini, says, brought forth feelings of longing, of love and beauty, and that was communicated to us even though it was in Italian. The Project 86 song had power and aggression and courage. Allow God to bring to the front of your mind what he wants to communicate with you. Allow yourself to worship in spirit and in truth. Be vulnerable. Part of the reason these guys are so good at leading us in worship is they're willing to be passionate and to be honest and to allow them the words and the music to move them. And that is a very vulnerable place to be. Be honest. Allow the very depth of you to call out. Allow the very depth of you to communicate. And be willing to listen and to hear. And know that you know that the deepest part of the Creator, of the Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, wants to and has continued and will never stop and will always, 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 always be crying out to you. So we don't have to change. I'm not telling you that you're doing this wrong, that you're worshiping is poor. I'm telling you that God is speaking to you. That the Spirit that is sealed within us is continually moving. And God isn't asking you to get better. He's not asking you to have asked for forgiveness the right way before we enter into worship. He didn't die on the cross for you to be perfect before you enter into worship. That is right. That's why we're here. So God, here's my heart. Here's me. I screwed up. I did all the wrong things. I broke all the stuff. But here's my heart. And the whole rest of the song is, I'm going to make you beautiful. Just communicate with me. Just talk. Allow the deep to call to the deep. These songs have become our liturgy. And we can, we memorize them. We know the words. We know what's coming next. We know when to stand up and sit down. And they can be that kind of empty religious process that we go through. Or they can be the life-giving words that they were intended to be. So our purpose up here as we lead worship isn't to sound cool. It isn't to try harder. Our purpose is to lead. To lead our community into worship. Worship that changes things. Worship that knocks down walls. Worship that opens hearts. Worship that prepares us and brings us to a place where the world has slipped away. That's our purpose. That's what we want. That's our goal. And we are as vulnerable and as honest and as passionate as we can be. And we're all on the same journey and we all have that same understanding. But hear me, when we talk about music and when we talk about communicating with God and when we talk about this, you're not doing it wrong. The Spirit is sealed within you. We serve a triune God. He is three, and He is one, and He is one, and He is three. And God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is in you. Our purpose is to turn to Him. Don't try harder. Don't sing louder. Do what God tells you to do during worship. Turn to Him. Listen. That sympathetic resonance of the winds moving in the heavens, allow it to move in you. The sound that heaven is making is the sound we're making. So we're going to do the same prayer we do every week. And we can say it because we say it every week. Or we can say it because these words are life-changing. And these words introduced us to Jesus Christ. And we can say it like, today is the day. Today is my start. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin, and you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life, and I give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the Scripture, to living in fellowship with God's people, to following you in water baptism, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Sealed within you. That is why we pray. And that is why we trust. And that is why we move forward. That's why we do those things. That's why we want to be closer to God. That's why we want to be closer to His people and community with Him. In Jesus' name. We pray and we trust that these things will be made true in our lives continually, over and over and over and over, because His grace is new, His mercy is new, His love is new, and it never falters, it never changes, it's never broken. And we turn to Him. Amen? Amen. All right. Go in peace. Have a good week.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.